You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, at the time of Hosea the prophet in the Old Testament, the Lord said to the priest, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." I think the same is true today. We live in a world filled with knowledge, but when it comes to the things of God, I'm afraid that oftentimes people have a false knowledge that they are holding on to. For that reason, we began last December to go through the 2017 version of Luther's Small Catechism. It's a book that is packed with all kinds of knowledge of the things of God. So we're never holding the catechism above the Bible, but we're saying that the catechism is based upon what is in the Bible. The catechism helps us to better understand the Bible. That's one way to look at it. As we go back to the catechism today, we've gone through the entire book all the way except for the appendix. So you might say, who's going to do anything with the appendix? But the appendix here, though, is packed with all kinds of really important information. So we're going to spend some time today and a little bit in the future finishing up the appendix, hitting some of the highlights of it. So I hope you've already read through it. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so soon. And may what is said today, may God so work through it by his Holy Spirit to increase our knowledge, to mature our faith in Jesus Christ, and to guide our lives in Jesus Christ. Going to the appendix, and the first question is, who is Jesus? In that section, they're using the creeds, and they're using also what we call the Lutheran confessions in order to answer that question, who is Jesus? So going to letter A in this section here, I say, from God's word, we know the answer to that question, who is Jesus? We go to Peter's famous confession when Jesus said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's think about that. Most people in the world don't believe that and don't have confidence in the Christ who is the Son of the living God, but we do, though. So we are more blessed than most people in the entire world. And then going on in the catechism, it says, the task of all believers then is to confess who Jesus is and why he matters. So it's good for us to know, it's good for us to benefit, but God wants us then to be useful to him in helping other people know who Jesus is and why it makes a big difference because of who he is and what he has done. And then going to the creeds, they also help us to know Jesus. With the Apostles' Creed, it sets Jesus at a time in history. It's a time in history when Pontius Pilate was the governor. So we have that set out in the Apostles' Creed. Also in that creed, it tells of Jesus' crucifixion, death, resurrection, ascension, and many other important things about him. And then in the Nicene Creed, similar to the Apostles' Creed in some ways, but also very different, it's pointing to the close relationship between God the Father and God the Son. It says that the Father and the Son are of one substance with each other. So we rejoice in that close relationship because some people a long time ago thought that the Father was here, the Son was here, and they were much different from each other. But as the creed says, of one substance, very important. And then thinking about the Athanasian Creed, that's talking about the relationship of the Son with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, while at the same time helping us know that the Son of God truly is the Son of God, and yet at the same time, he is Jesus, born of Mary. So both God and man, he must be both in order to be our Savior. And then going to what we call the Lutheran Confessions, I'm referring to the Book of Concord. The Book of Concord has 10 key documents in it. The first three documents are the three creeds I mentioned, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian. and then we go on to seven other documents, one of which is the Small Catechism. So the Book of Concord is very important. The Book of Concord was published all the way back in 1580. Again, we're not putting the Book of Concord over the Bible, but what the Book of Concord does is it takes very important teachings in the Bible and it expands on them and helps us understand them in a proper way, so it becomes a very important book. I want to read a little bit longer quote here from the Small Catechism in this particular section, and it's giving us a little bit of insight into what was going on back in the day of Luther, and actually what was going on then is not that much different than what's going on today. It says, "Many held that even though Jesus is God, he alone cannot save us. We need to help him out by doing our part. And so the Lutheran reformers were compelled to build upon Peter's confession and the early church's creeds by confessing that God declares us righteous and adopts us as his children by grace alone, for Christ's sake, through faith alone." So what was going on in Luther's day? Not only did people come up with the idea on their own, hey, I'm a decent person, I think God will let me into heaven. Many people thought that back then. Many people think that today. What else was going on in Luther's day? People were gathering in Christian churches, and they were being told by people who were the clergy, they were being told that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, he did some important things, but what he did was not enough. And now you need to get going. You need to get going and do your part. You need to add that to what he has done if you expect to go to heaven. That's what was being taught back in his day. And you know what's true also? The same things are being taught in countless Christian churches around the world today. That what Jesus did is not enough. So you better get going. You better add to what he did if you expect to go to heaven. That is all false teaching, but yet it's very prevalent. It was back then. It is also today. And then going on to the next part of the Small Catechism, the topic here is on reading God's word. Here's a quote from the Catechism. "God wants us to hear, understand, and believe his word, and his Spirit works through it," in other words, works through God's word, "in order to enable us to do so." And then the Catechism says, the first challenge is simply to open the book. Can anyone here read this book without opening it? Maybe some of you have that ability, I don't know, but I can't do it. So the first challenge here is to actually open the book. So I challenge all of you to actually open the book. That's the first step. Once we open it, our eyes are going to see the words, because God has blessed us with the ability to read. Now we can begin to read the words. And what happens when we do that is that the Holy Spirit then will begin to work through those words in order to give us greater understanding and many, many blessings. As we get into the Bible, let's not forget that the Bible is all about forgiveness and life in Jesus. Sometimes people start to read the Bible and they come across, let's say early on in Genesis, they come across one of the long genealogies and they see all those different words, all those different names, and then they decide, that's too difficult, let's just close the book and forget about it. But what God wants us to do, though, he doesn't want us to major in the minors. He doesn't want us to get distracted by all the things that are difficult, but he wants us to know what is most important. So he wants us to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is that we are sinners, and we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. That's the main thing here. So let's keep that the main thing. Toward the end of the Gospel of John, many things have been said in the book, many words of Jesus, many miracles have been performed. It's kind of easy to get caught up and maybe lost or mixed up with all that stuff. But then John summarizes, he wrote, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So again, John was bringing everyone back and saying, let's make sure, guys, that we keep the main thing the main thing. Also, too, when we get into the Bible, let's understand that we use Scripture to interpret Scripture. So if you open the Bible and you're reading here, and there's something difficult on a particular topic, what should you do with that? Should you take a guess on what it means? Not a good idea. So God is saying, if I'm touching on that topic here, I probably have touched on that topic in many other places in this book. So God is saying, find out where those places are, read in those places, and those places will help you understand this particular place. So Scripture interprets Scripture. What are some other ways to deal with the Bible? Some other ways would be, even before we actually open it, let's pray, Dear Holy Spirit, show me what this book means as I open it now and get ready to read it. So let's pray for God's help in doing so. And then, if we're looking at a particular verse and we don't quite know what it means, what should we do? We should read some verses before that, some verses after that. Let's make sure we're putting it in context. Let's make sure we know what's going on in that section of the Bible. And then, if we're still not quite sure, let's have a good study Bible. And there are many bad study Bibles out there, so be careful, but get a study Bible with some real solid notes in there. That way you can turn to that particular section, look at the notes, and that can be helpful. You can also look at a good Bible commentary. So, for example, in our library here at church, we have what's called the People's Bible Commentary. So we have all the different volumes out there. So if you're reading in a particular part of the Bible during the week, and you come to a difficult section and you're not quite sure, make a note, and then when you're here, grab that commentary, take it home, take a look at it, and in very understandable words, it's going to help you understand what that means. And if you still can't figure it out, you're welcome to ask me, and if I happen to know, I will gladly share it with you, or maybe do a little bit of my own research to find the answer. Also, too, when we think about the Bible, we could say that Testament interprets Testament. So the Old Testament interprets the New Testament, and also the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. When I think about that reality, I think about that famous statement by St. Augustine years ago. He put it this way, the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed, the new is in the old concealed. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? What does that mean? It means that both the old and the new have the same information, but the information that's in the old is revealed when you get into the new, and what's in the new is the same as what's in the old, but in the old it's more concealed. Now that doesn't mean just read the new and forget about the old, but it means, though, that when you read the whole thing, the new is going to help you understand the old, and as you read the old, you're going to rejoice in what it says in the new as you see the fulfillment of prophecies taking place in the New Testament. So they both very much fit together with each other. And then a couple more sections here in this part of the catechism. It says that words do things. In other words, when we read the Bible, we shouldn't just be reading it to gain information, but rather, though, when we are reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit is at work, and he is at work sometimes to warn us, sometimes to encourage us, sometimes to humble us, assure us, train us, all kinds of reasons. In other words, he's not just imparting information, he wants that word to do something to us in an important way. When we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, he works through the law to convict us of our sins. He works through the gospel in order to point us to Jesus and his finished work. Also, too, when we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, it's not something that happens overnight. So if you went to bed tonight and put your Bible under your pillow and slept on it the entire night, do you think you would know it all by the next morning? I don't think it works that way. Wouldn't that be so much easier if it did work that way? But it doesn't, though. So the work of the Holy Spirit is gradual, and really we could say it is lifelong. There's never a point where anyone could ever say, oh yeah, I've read that, I know it all, I never need to look at that again. I haven't met such a person yet, and if they have gotten to that point, I don't think they're looking at it in the proper way. So as the Holy Spirit is working gradually, part of that process happens right here as we gather for Word and Sacrament. Part of it happens as you take the challenge and actually open the Bible during the week. Let me conclude here with a third section in the appendix, and that would be on the question, what is worship? Let me answer that question five times here real briefly. What is worship? First of all, it is Christ-centered. So we are the ones who are in need, and we gather to receive the blessings of what God has won for us in Jesus Christ. What is worship? It includes our reception of God's gifts. So God is giving out gifts every time we gather, but let's understand the gifts are received only by faith. So when we have faith, we receive the gifts. If people wander in without faith, they're not getting the gifts, but at the same time, though, the Holy Spirit is working through the Word, trying to give them that gift of faith so then they can receive the gifts. God wants everyone to receive, for sure. What is worship? It includes reading God's Word. Generally, here at Bethlehem, we follow what's called the three-year lectionary. So what that means is that people have decided what the readings will be each week for a three-year cycle, and the readings are tied in with the church year. So the readings are keeping us focused on various key aspects of the life of Christ, and now, in the season of Pentecost, the readings are focusing now on us living for Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. What is worship? It includes the proclamation of law and gospel. So when the law comes forth, the Holy Spirit is using the law to crush us, to help us to know we are sinners. We cannot save ourselves. And then, though, the Holy Spirit works through the gospel in order to lift us up and to point us to Christ and to assure us that through him we are forgiven, through him we are saved. Last question, what is worship? It includes the Lord's Supper. So the Lord's Supper is bread, wine, body, and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. So we've been reminded of our sins. We've heard of God's forgiveness in the gospel. Now, coming to the supper, we do it in a very individual way. And personally, God says to us, I love you. I gave my body for you. I shed my blood for you. And through my finished work, your sins are forgiven. And what does that mean for us? That means great joy. That means we can depart in peace, knowing we are forgiven. Knowing that come whatever, God is going to take us to heaven when the time is right. God will be with us. God will help us through every difficulty of life. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, now that we know more about Jesus, about the Bible, and about worship, we pray that you would grow us up and make us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.